Before we came here to the UAE, I was teaching a small group on the topic of God's promises. And I remember asking a question to the group, a couple of questions. The first question I asked the group was, how many of you know Jesus' command that we love our enemies? Well, they all raised their hands. They all knew that. We're supposed to love our enemies. And then I asked, how many of you struggle to love your enemies? All the hands went up for that as well, no surprise. And then I asked, how many of you know the promise that Jesus gives us to help us obey that command to love our enemies? I don't remember seeing one hand go up. Not one hand. And that stunned me. Why would they remember the command and not the promise Jesus gives us to help us obey that command? Why? I mean, it's right there in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Here's what Jesus said. Luke 6, 35. But love your enemies. There's the command, and then there's a couple other commands, but then here's the promise. But love your enemies, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. So actually, Jesus gives us two promises to help us obey that command to love our enemies. One, your reward will be great. That means you will experience even more of the heart-filling and satisfying joy of knowing God in Christ. You'll experience that even more as you're on the path of obedience and loving your enemies. That's one promise. Second promise, you will be sons of the Most High. You'll be saved sons, daughters, yes, of the Most High. Now, that does not mean that by loving our enemies, we earn salvation. We can't earn any of our salvation. What that does mean is that as we love our enemies, we will be assured that we have the genuine faith that connects us to Jesus, who does earn our salvation. So here's how these two promises work together. Jesus wants us, as we're in a situation, we need to love our enemies. He wants us to take hold of these promises. Think about these promises. Pray about these promises. That if I love my enemy, I'm going to have even more heart-filling, heart-satisfying joy in Christ, and I'm going to be even more assured that I'm saved, that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the living God. Powerful promises. And he knows, Jesus knows, that as we lay hold of those promises, as we put our trust into those promises, as we think about those promises, the Holy Spirit will use those promises to fill our hearts with love, even love for our enemies. That might happen in a minute or two, or it might take longer, but it will happen. He promises that as well. The Holy Spirit will use God's promises to change our hearts, give us what we need, empower us with what we need to obey Christ. Tonight, I want to show you from God's Word that God wants to use His promises to help us obey Him. And second, I want to help us see what that looks like in real life. A little shorter message because of the baptism. But I'm so excited about this topic. It has changed my life. No overstatement. So first question, does God help us obey by giving us his promises? The answer is yes. Let me show you one scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Amazing scripture. I hope you memorize this. 2 Peter 1, 4, Peter says, God has granted to us His precious and very great promises. Now just pause there. God's promises are precious. And they are very great. I mean, think of His promises. He promises, this is amazing. Don't ever let this become old news. He promises to forgive all of our sins. Past sins, present sins, future sins, all of our sins forgiven, pardoned through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Friends, that is the best news in the world. You can be completely, 100% forgiven through Christ. That's the first promise. Second promise I wanted to mention, he will satisfy all of our heart desires, longings in Christ. Not in what Christ gives us, but in who Christ is. The beauty, the reality, the person of Jesus Christ fills our hearts completely. So all your sins forgiven, your heart fills completely. God also promises to keep you on the road to heaven. He will strengthen you. He will help you. When you drift, he'll convict you and bring you back. He'll carry you through the hard times. He will keep you on the road to heaven so that everyone who's trusting Jesus Christ right now tonight, he's promising you because of the good work he started, you know, he will continue it all the way until you are standing before his presence in heaven. And the list just goes on and on. That's just three of the promises. Promises from God are precious and very great. And why does he give us his precious and very great promises? Keep reading. It's so that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Not that we become divine like God is, but we partake of his divine nature. We experience more of his presence, his beauty, his love, his glory, his joy, his peace. We partake of God's very nature. So God gives us his precious and very great promises so that through them we can become partakers of his divine nature. And how do promises do that? Last line. How does that happen? Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Sin's corruption keeps us from God's presence. But God has given us his promises to help us escape from sin's corruption so that we can enjoy his presence more fully. Okay, picture it like this. All of us here in this world, we are in the river of sin. Sorry, bad news. We're in the river of sin. And it is flowing away from God's presence. It's flowing away from God's presence. And we don't want to be taken away from God's presence. We've been born again. We love God's presence. So we want to move upstream towards God's presence. But that current is strong. That flow is powerful. It's difficult. Man, it's just hard. And God knows that. And so what does he do? He throws us a life preserver. Life preserver, you know, kind of that round orange thing that floats. It's got a rope attached to it. You all know about what life preservers are. So there you are on the river of sin. There we all are. And he throws you the life preserver. He says, take hold of this. Grab hold of the life preserver. Trust my promise. That's what the life preserver is, God's promise. And so you grab hold of this. And you hang on to this. And he's pulling you. So he's pulling you upstream, closer and closer to his presence. And in our lives, he will do that for us again and again, and again, and again. That's what God does. God doesn't want us to be trying to swim upstream on our own. He throws us the life preserver. Take hold of this. Take hold of this. Throughout the day, take hold of this. And we grab hold of his promises. We hold on, we clutch on, we put our trust in, and he's pulling us with his power toward himself, more and more of his presence. So here's the question. This last week, when you felt yourself being pulled towards sin, or when you felt jealousy rising up in your heart, or when someone has hurt you and you are feeling bitter towards them and starting to nurture a little grudge against them. So this last week, as you're feeling sin pulling at you, did you grab onto the life preserver? Or did you try to swim upstream on your own? What did you do this last week? 2 Peter 1:4 tells us that God gives us his promises to help us obey. But this is not just taught in 2 Peter 1, verse 4. It is all through the Bible. As I've studied the connection between God's commands and God's promises, I've noticed that every command in the Bible, every single command in the Bible, God has attached a promise to it. Every single command. And I noticed then, I was reading a book by David Powlison. He said the same thing. I'll put the quote up, or she'll put the quote up. From David Powlison. Look what he says. This is a book called How Sanctification Works. Great book. He says, God's revelation, he's talking about the Bible, always attaches promises to his commands and commands to his promises. God makes sure that every command has a promise attached to it. Now, sometimes God does that by attaching a promise to the command right in the exact same verse. Right in the same verse, the promise is right there. We saw that in Luke 6:35 about loving your enemies. The promise, those two promises, right in the exact same verse. Here's another example. Look at James chapter 4, verse 8. James says, draw near to God. Now, that's a command that we pray, that we seek God's face. Draw near to God. There's the command. And look at the promise. Right, same verse, attached to the command. And he will draw near to you. So see, this is a precious and magnificent promise. It's right there attached to that command. Why does God do that? It's because we've all felt this. There's times when we know we should pray, when we think it'd be good to pray, but then we find ourselves being pulled by that current, that river of sin, you know, social media starts to pull out. Well, let's just check Instagram for a second, just a second. Or, you know, you can pull Netflix, you know, something. You can feel that, right? So we're drawn away by these things. And God throws us the life preserver. Here, take hold of this. Draw near to God, pray, and he will draw near to you. And the reason God attaches this promise to this command is because he knows that we'll be facing sin pulling us away, and we'll say, wait a minute. As I draw near to God in prayer right now, he promises, he, the God of the universe who's created everything, he will draw near to me, little me here in this room where I am. The God of the universe is going to come and draw near to me and meet me and help me and hear me and comfort me and strengthen me and guide me and encourage me. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Here's the life preserver. Grab hold of it. Put your trust in it and watch what God does. So sometimes God attaches promises to individual commands right in the exact same verse, or maybe in the exact same context in the surrounding verses. That's what he does sometimes. But we will find that there are promises in the Bible. We can't find any promise in the same verse or in the immediate context. So what does that mean? Does that mean in those cases God says, you're on your own on this one? Sorry, no life preserver for that one. Just do the best you can. Is that what God says? You look like you're wondering. No, it's not what he says. Are you getting the point, church? That's not what he says. We know that because God also attaches promises to summaries of his commands, groups of his commands, and every single command in the Bible is included in one of those summaries or one of those groups. Let me give you an example. John 14:21. Jesus says something just beautiful, an amazing promise here. Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them. Now think about what that means. He's talking about every single one of his commandments here, right? Every commandment. Do you see that? Commandments, plural. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, that's every single one of his commandments. He it is who loves me. And here comes the promise. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's the promise. Jesus attaches this promise to every single one of his commands. So even if there's not a promise in the immediate context of one of his commands, this verse applies to that command. You see that? So whenever we struggle to obey one of his commands, Jesus wants us to hold on to this life preserver. Take hold of this life preserver. This promise, these promises that obeying him will do what? It'll bring us a greater experience of Jesus' love and of the Father's love. We already are loved by the Father and loved by Jesus by faith alone in Christ. We're completely forgiven and loved, but our experience of Christ's love, the Father's love, will rise and fall as we obey, right? And that's what Jesus is promising here. So you're feeling sin tugging at your heart, and you're thinking, I could have more of Jesus' love by choosing the path of obedience here. I could experience more of the Father's love by choosing the path of obedience here. And you think about that promise, and you pray over that promise, and you say, God, use that promise to strengthen me right now, and he will come and strengthen your heart and empower you to obey. Promises. That's what God does. So let this sink in. When I first saw this, it was a game changer for me. Every command in the Bible has a promise attached to it. Now, why would God do that? It's because he wants all of our obedience to be motivated by his promises. He wants all of our obedience to be grabbing onto that life preserver. And as he pulls us forward, he helps us, he strengthens us. He doesn't want any of our obedience to be tried to be done on our own. This is hard. This Christian life is hard. Grab the life preserver. Father, help me. It doesn't make it easy. Let's be clear. Okay? It doesn't make it easy, but it's far easier than swimming without the life preserver. That's why God has attached a promise to every single command. That's why I was so stunned at that group when I was first asking. They knew the command, but none of them knew the life preserver that Jesus gives us to help us obey that command. Do you know the life preservers he's given to us? Now, second question, last question. How does this work in real life? How does this actually work? And to answer that, let's look at Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, an instance in the life of Moses. Okay, Moses was born an Israelite, one of God's people, but he was adopted into Pharaoh's family, royalty, money, power, position, wealth. But God called Moses to leave all of that, all that he had in Egypt, leave it and join God's people, Moses' people, the Israelites, who were slaves. Amazing what God called him to do. And what did Moses do? Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses chose to join God's people. No more status, no more wealth, no more power. Why would he choose to do that? Why? Verse 26. It's because he considered, this is an amazing statement, he considered the reproach of Christ. Now, let me just explain that. What the author of Hebrews is talking about here is that Moses was choosing humiliation, lowliness, reproach of Christ, that is for Christ's sake, for the sake of the Messiah. The people of Israel were going to be the tribe through, or the people through whom the Messiah would be born. They needed to be delivered from Egypt in order to have all this to happen. So Moses chose or considered the reproach of Christ, that is suffering for the sake of the coming Messiah. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He chose to join God's people, to leave behind the wealth, the status, the position, and join Israelites who were slaves. So think about it like this. Over here, we've got Egypt's wealth, power, position. And over here, we've got poverty and suffering with the Israelites. Okay? Wealth, power, position. You got that? You feeling that one? And then we've got poverty and suffering over here. And he saw poverty and suffering. This is greater wealth. than this. Not this is the greater wealth. No, this is greater wealth than that. Why? End of verse 26, he was looking to the reward, the promised reward, the life preserver. What's the reward? Moses had been saved, forgiven, reconciled to God through God's mercy, which he would accomplish through the coming Messiah. And because Moses was saved, God had poured his presence into Moses' heart, and Moses knew this is the greatest joy I've ever known, the joy of knowing God, knowing I'm forgiven, knowing him in his glory. This is the greatest joy. And God promised Moses, the path of obedience will always bring you more of my presence. The path of obedience will always bring you more of the joy of my presence. And so Moses thought about that promise. There's the life preserver right there. Suffering with God's people would be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt because the suffering would bring him more of God's presence, more of the joy of knowing God, which is the greatest wealth. Far surpasses Egypt's wealth and power and position. And so he trusted God's promise and he obeyed that promise, and that promise was fulfilled in his life. That's how God's promises work in real life. So learn God's promises. Study God's promises. Memorize God's promises. Trust God's promises. And watch how God changes your heart so that you are empowered more and more and more to obey him. It's beautiful. So here's the deal. Whenever you struggle to obey, whenever you feel sin's pull, don't try to swim against the current on your own. Obey by faith. That means grab hold to the promise, grab hold of the life preserver, and watch God's power changing your heart and pulling you away from that sin towards more and more of his presence. That's how it works in real life. Now, we're going to celebrate 6 baptisms. So excited about these. We're getting baptized. What they're going to be doing before us is publicly professing their faith in Jesus Christ, which is beautiful. Only the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit can produce these professions in someone's heart. We're going to be seeing 6 miracles before our eyes here. What God's done has been miraculous in their hearts. And they're committing to living by faith for the rest of their lives. And I want to challenge you to, as they're professing faith and committing to live by faith in Christ, that each of us in our hearts would be saying, Lord, in a fresh way, I'm committing to live by faith. I want to trust you completely. Strengthen me, help me. Let's all make that commitment afresh as we are observing these baptisms. Let's pray together. Come, Lord, and do a powerful work now, we pray. Pour out your grace afresh even more upon each of these. You've already saved them through faith in Christ, and they're publicly professing that now and displaying that now. Lord, would you pour your grace out upon them even more and touch all of our hearts, Lord, as in a fresh way we give ourselves to you to live by faith, trusting all that you promised to be to us in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.